Praise the Lord. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, that's where we'll be starting today. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that even with our flaws and imperfections, you have a perfect plan for us. And Lord, we rest in that today. We know you've already done a work in our hearts, and you've already done a work this morning, setting us free and setting us on a new course, on a changed course to do things differently. And Lord, we want that sealed in our hearts. But as we go and read this word about our flaws and imperfections and how you still work in those things, Lord, I just pray you let this word be a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In this series, which we're ending today, called Perfectly Flawed, we've been talking a lot. We've learned this. We've learned that we all have flaws and imperfections. Amen? The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes. From pastor to the two-year-old that stole from the cookie jar, right? We all are sinners and we need a Savior. Amen. That is so true. So it's good to know that and not think that the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. That's there for a reason, because some of us can get on those high horses, right? Like, I'm better than so-and-so. I'm more spiritual than so-and-so, right? Don't do that. The Bible says not to do that. Humble. Humility and servant is greatness in God's kingdom. You can read it in the Gospels where Jesus says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you minister to people. You serve people, right? Right. If you have to carry a sign to tell people that you're awesome, you're probably not too awesome, right? If you have to, I'm spiritual, look at me, there's probably a problem there. What does Jesus say? When you pray in secret. When you fast in secret. Don't be like the hypocrites that go, and they are not obeying the law of Moses like the Pharisees and they were doing. So we've all learned that. None of us are perfect. We all have flaws. But these flaws and imperfections can become part of God's perfect plan for your life. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. All of your flaws and your imperfections can become part of God's perfect plan for your life. That's beautiful. So no one in this room is too flawed or too imperfect. You are beautifully and wonderfully created to accomplish God's perfect plan for your life. That's true for everyone in this place. You are not too messed up. You are not too flawed. You haven't put God second place for too long. There are no flaws or imperfections that the cross cannot bear. Amen. Amen? That the cross and the resurrection and that perfect sacrifice doesn't cover. It's covered. It's covered in the blood, your flaws, your imperfections. You have to believe that. You have to believe that there's a perfect plan for your life and there's nothing that you've done that can stop it. If you walk in that plan, when you wake up every day, know you have a destiny for good. You have a destiny to serve others. You have a destiny to bring hope to the lost world in the name of Jesus. That's why I love our name, Hope Community Church, right? Because our DNA is to bring hope to the community. You know, in order to do that, you have to actually get outside the walls, right? You got to actually, like, to get into the community, you got to get outside the walls. And that's one thing that I know God is preparing us to get outside. Obviously, we're doing that with the outreaches, but I think it's just the beginning. I believe in my heart that there's something amazing that God's preparing us for. And I'll keep saying it because I just believe it with all my heart. And I don't know what it is exactly. I just know the pieces are being put in place for people to be impacted, to know that if Hope Community Church shows up, they're about to help people. I just get excited thinking about it, because awesomeness and greatness is in that heart, in servant hearts that want to serve no matter what. And we serve and we serve, and we don't expect anything in return from people. We just want to show Jesus love. You got to believe that your flaws and your imperfections are not going to define you. You are defined by God's character, by who you are in Him. You have a destiny to bring hope. But before we celebrate all of this and we say, yes, we're awesome and our flaws aren't going to stop us and we're going forward and God has a perfect plan and we're all in this together, before we get there to end this series, because it is true and it is to be celebrated. I mean, the fact that we, with all our imperfections and flaws, that we can be counted worthy to be part of this beautiful work of bringing hope to people in the name of Jesus. To be counted worthy to do that, it's just amazing. It's to be celebrated, amen? For us to even have that opportunity to bless people. But it all starts, and I want to go back to the very beginning and ending this series. It all starts. This ball doesn't start rolling. Your flaws and your imperfections don't just go away. There's a starting point where things begin to turn around. And for some of you, that was today, right? Like, you were like stuck, and it's like, no, I'm going to be obedient. I'm free now, and I'm going to change. I'm going to go. There's a change. But there is a beginning point of those flaws and imperfections becoming part of God's perfect story. And that always begins, always has begun, and always will begin with repentance. Amen? You know those real repentant moments? Like when you couldn't stop the water flowing from your eyes and you were just like, Lord, I want you. I'm so sorry. I want more of you in my life. Remember those moments? That's where the ball starts rolling. That's when the light turns on, right? All these phrases. That's when everything starts clicking, is when there's true repentance. Amen. So a quick example. In Luke chapter 22, verse 60, I'll go right into it. You know the story of Peter, right? He denied Jesus 3 times and... But this is the verse that I believe that Peter the Rock began. In this moment right here. See, Peter had it easy. He had it easy when he was with Jesus. Like, he's walking on water and like, let me walk with you. Okay. You know, he's there. Jesus is taking care of him, right? And he's watching Jesus heal people. And he sees Jesus turn water into wine. And he sees Jesus heal the lepers. And I mean, Peter's having an easy ride. Excuse me. But then comes the moment when Jesus is being crucified and these ladies are telling, hey, you're with him. Hey, you aren't you with him? Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. Then it finally hit him. The moment. And this was it. And Peter said, man, I know not what you are saying. I don't know this man. I don't know what you're speaking about. And the cock crew, as Jesus said. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he had said what he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Right? I love those 2 words. He wept bitterly. At this moment, what happened to Peter, he didn't get hard in his heart. He broke. He broke. He's like, Jesus, whom I love and I believe is the Son of God, the Messiah, I just denied him to even know him. And he broke. Repentance. I believe this was when Peter started on his journey for God's perfect plan to be manifested in his life. That was the beginning. Amen. The repentance. And you know the rest of the story, right? Jesus, he rises from the dead and he's showing up. And And he seeks out Peter, says, Peter, you love me? Oh, yeah, you know, he told him three times that statement, and he said, I do. And Jesus told him three times, if you really love me, you're going to feed my sheep, feed my lambs. It begins with repentance. Another quick little story, David. Here, David, you know, the one that slew Goliath. David, the one that defeated the lion and the bear while he was a shepherd boy. David, if you turn to Psalms 51, David, the one that didn't even understand why people weren't standing up to Goliath, because he was like, don't you know God's going to deliver us? He had so much faith. Well, he became king, as you know, and he made a big mistake. He had a big flaw that he did. And David was on a bad road. He was headed to lose God's favor. He was headed down this great man of God. It's good for church leaders and pastors to hear this. This great man of God. Little by little, the fame, the power. He didn't have to worry about money. He was king. But little by little, God wasn't Lord of his life. And it manifested in this sin. And that happens to people in religion, in power, in pastors and leaders. They get so caught up in the success of the ministry that they lose sight of what's most important. Always, always important to stay humble and vulnerable, because none of us can defeat sin and temptation in our own strength. Nobody. Only in the power of the Holy Spirit can we overcome our carnal, sinful nature. It's important for all of us to always remember that, no matter what your position is in life or in church. We're all sinners needing a Savior. And so here David, he sinned with Bathsheba, and he created the circumstances where her husband would be in the front lines of the war. And he did wrong. And when he was confronted, David could have just lost favor and lost everything with his relationship with God. But no, this little psalm right here is repentance. And it says there in Luke 51, verse 10, create, once David realized it, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Isn't that beautiful? And that's repentance right there. You know, you can sense in reading that David was begging God not to depart from him. Please, Lord, do not depart from me. I want the joy of my salvation. You know, a lot of Christians have gone through some stuff, through some hurts, maybe sometimes even with other Christians or just stuff. And like the joy is sucked out. Wait, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be living a life of joy and peace, even in the trials. That's what the word says. Even in trials. Peter and Paul wrote a lot about this, right? Because Paul was always in jail, right? Always going through trials, but yet always preached about the joy of the Lord. And yet, we go through stuff and that gets sucked out of us, the joy. And it was sucked out of David. And he's like, no, I don't want to live like this anymore. Lord, restore the joy of thy salvation. And sure enough, we know that God said David was the apple of his eye. That God loved David, and a man after his heart. So there we see two quick examples of repentance. Was the beginning of making sure that your life became part of a perfect story. For Peter, he became the rock. For David, he became the apple of God's eye. And for us, It's to be determined. But it's true for all of us. Repentance is the key to turning your flaws into God's perfect story in your life. It is the key. Repentance. Repentance. I want to end with this story in Nehemiah chapter 1. If you'll turn there. In Nehemiah, we're all flawed, but God's got a good plan for you. Don't worry. Just surrender to His will. He's got a good plan. In Nehemiah chapter 1, let's read 1 through 11. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislia, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which was left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So let me give you some background. Jerusalem was captured. The people were disobedient to God, and they were taken over. The temple was demolished because of the children of Israel's disobedience. And everything was in ruins. There was no more temple. There was nothing in Jerusalem. And here we are. They got scattered. And here Nehemiah is. And this is where the story takes place. And they said unto them, the remnant that are left back in Jerusalem in captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Nehemiah's prayer in verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept, and I mourned certain days, and fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and the terrible God, that keepeth a covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Do you feel the passion in this prayer? Do you feel that he's just not going through the motions? That Nehemiah is seeing what's going on to the whole covenant, the whole Abraham covenant, the whole promises and the law of Moses and everything. And he sees it and it's all crushed and demolished. And he's praying day and night for days and days. And he's just weeping and saying, Lord, it's all broken. It's all broken. And he says, and I know why it's broken. And he says there in verse 6, it's broken because of the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You see how important repentance is? See, because when you begin to have this heart of opening up your heart and allowing God to look at your vulnerable things, your sins, your disobediences, the things that have been wrong, when you let them dig in like this, then restoration begins. We have dealt very corruptly in verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against you, God, and we have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments. Remember, I beseech thee, thy word, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And that's exactly what happened. They got scattered. But if ye turn unto me, so this is Nehemiah pleading to God, if you turn unto me and keep my commandments, no, this is God speaking through the law of Moses. If you turn unto me and you keep my commandments and do them, thou there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to see my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by the strong hand. So as Nehemiah is praying, He knows enough to know that if they were to return to God, God promised in a covenant that he would bring them back. You see, God keeps his promises. Amen. I love that song, His Promises Still Stand. You know, it's one of my favorite songs I listen to on my phone. His promises, they stand. They don't get broken down because you decide to do your own thing. He's a good God. And verse 11, he says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear hear, be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him Mary in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, right? You know what that is, right? The king wanted a drink. Nehemiah? Yes, king. Yes, here you go. I'm sure he had to bow and do all the things, right? This is his job, Nehemiah. He was the king's cupbearer. And this cupbearer became the reason why the second temple was built. Wow, that's pretty deep. But it all began with this prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1. It all began with a repentive heart, weeping and pleading to God to restore what had been broken. Think about that. There may be things in your life that need to be restored, that are broken. Don't be afraid to repent. Don't be afraid to plead. Don't be afraid to get on your knees and cry out to God, because he keeps his promises. Amen? He keeps them. So this cupbearer became the reason why the second temple was built. The same temple that Jesus prayed at, the same temple where the veil was rent and torn when Jesus died at the cross. How did this happen? During this time, the children of Israel, the Jews, had abandoned their customs, had abandoned everything. They were scattered. They weren't obeying the law of Moses. They were lost and in danger of losing their legacy as God's chosen people. But Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, began the restoration of God's law in the Jewish people. And it all began with repentance. It always begins with repentance. We're just not talking that first. We're not just talking about that first one, right? When you got saved. Remember David. It wasn't at the beginning. It was after he had grown in the Lord. A repentive heart and mindset we need every day. Every day. Lord, forgive me. Guide me. Teach me your character. Teach me righteousness. That mindset and that attitude is needed every day. Right? I'm speaking to you not like baby Christians. I'm speaking to you like maturing Christians. Every day we need him. We need his mercy. We need his grace. We need his forgiveness. That mindset. And that begins to restore things that are broken. Don't hesitate to repent. Like David prayed with passion, begging and pleading God. It is in repentance that your flaws begin to work for God's kingdom. It is in repentance that you are free to be strong in faith. It is in repentance that you have joy and peace that passes all understanding. It is in repentance that you become perfectly flawed. That's what this series has been all about. No matter how awful we've been or done or what's happened in the past or how much we've been hurt and held grudges, all of that. No matter how much of that there is in our lives, none of it really, really matters once you repent and you move on. None of it matters. It's just irrelevant. What becomes relevant is the plan God has for you, a perfect plan. So don't hesitate to repent. It is in repentance that you will have joy and peace. It is in repentance that you become perfectly flawed. So what happened to Nehemiah? The king gave him permission. You know, the king liked the cupbearer. Actually, if you read it, he's like, what's wrong, cupbearer? Like, you look sad. What's wrong? You're not sick, and you look sick. What's wrong? Says, well, this is what's wrong. My people are scattered. There's problems in Jerusalem. Can I go? Okay, but are you coming back? Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know if he came back or not. I didn't follow that part of the story. But the king lets him go. And he goes. And guess what? Nehemiah goes, and he's like in Jerusalem, and he's looking at the wall, and it's a mess. Well, the lack of a wall, it's a mess. If you go to Nehemiah chapter 8, this is the last scripture in closing. The king gave him permission to rebuild the wall, and he moved to Jerusalem. And when he went there, it wasn't easy. If you read Nehemiah, you see that Nehemiah was laughed at, ridiculed. They even plotted against them. He had a lot of barriers. But Nehemiah, he just believed that if I pray and I seek God, it's going to work out. Do you have that same faith? If you just pray and believe every day and trust God and be consistent, you know, going to church and getting fed and serving people when you can. If I just keep doing those things, then everything's just God's going to line it up for me. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you have that in your DNA? Do you just know God is a good God? And he keeps his promises. And Nehemiah had that. A lot of the great characters in the Bible had that attitude. David, like, what are you talking about? God's going to take care of this, right? No, they had it. And sometimes we look at things with our eyes and we lose it. What does the Bible say? That the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen, they're eternal. And Nehemiah had that mindset. I don't care. And he was ridiculed. It was tough. But it finally happened. They built the wall. It may even be that wailing wall that's there now. I don't know if it's that same wall or not. But it'd be pretty cool if it was, right? That would be cool. But there's a wall there in Jerusalem now. The only wall that's remaining. They didn't build the temple, but Nehemiah got it started and they built the wall. And here in verse 8 is the first time everything comes back together. The priest and the Levites or whatever things they had came back together, and they came to the wall. And let's read what happened in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra, the prophet, opened the book there in front of the people, in the sight of all the people, in front of that wall, was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra, the prophet, blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. And they were lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Joshua and all these names I can't pronounce caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book and in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Their eyes were open. They understood the law of Moses and the readings. And Nehemiah, which is was in the Teshitha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. For the first time, they had their Jewish customs returning. The law of Moses. Why? Because Nehemiah, from far, far away, the cupbearer, believed. And it began with repentance. And once that happened, the ball was rolling and the perfect plan and will of God manifested. God's faithful. We're flawed, perfectly flawed. But he's faithful and he's good. And we're just his chosen people grafted in to this family of God. And we're blessed. The best is yet to come, church. I really believe this service has been not just any service, but a beginning started, some kind of beginning, a change. You know, it started with Carlo, you know, who's out there helping the Sunday school kids now. He just came to me and, you know, this was important. It is important. God is a God of order, right? And when God gives you a word, you go to the pastor and you say, you know, I got a word. And then the pastor sometimes will be like, okay, it's a good time or not. Or, you know, God's a God of order, right? You don't just want everybody going to the mic and say, I got a word for the Lord. But there's an order to things, right? And it began with that. And I really believe that set the course for this service today, for a new beginning, for a change, for freedom. And it always begins with repentance. So that's how we're going to end today. In the count of three, I just like to end this way in kind of a confirmation thing, but I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, I'm going to ask you to stand if you are that person, or you're determined to be that person like Nehemiah. Like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to repent, and I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to repent, and I'm just going to let I don't care about my flaws. I'm just going to repent and let God's perfect will happen in my life. If that's your mindset, if that is your heart, I'm going to have a mindset of repentance. I'm going to just, Lord, take it. I don't want to do it my way. I want to repent. I want to say, Lord, take everything. The things that don't line up with your word, I repent. I take them so that I can now go into God's perfect plan for my life. If that's just your heart and your mindset, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to pray and close in prayer. But I just feel we need to act on this together. If that's your heart, you know, don't feel pressured. If it's not, you're just not ready or whatever, that's fine. There's no, God's timing is perfect. But in the count of three, if that's your mindset, a repentant, you're ready to repent, and you're just ready to have that mind of repentance, and you're ready to go on that walk with him no matter what, on his perfect plan for your life. One, two, three. If that's you, stand. If that's your mindset, you're ready. You're ready. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just repent, Lord. Lord, we're standing right now because we're saying that we're not afraid and we're not shy and we're not too proud to repent, Lord. Lord, for you to check our hearts and teach us where we're doing wrong, what we're doing wrong. Teach us the things that don't line up with your word. We are not afraid for you to do surgery in our hearts, Lord, because we read in your scripture that every instance where people repented with the true repentance and with passion, that you did amazing things. And Lord, we want to do amazing things for you. And it begins with this mindset and this attitude of a repentant heart. So Lord, that is our prayer today. This is how we end. And this is how we fight our battles, in prayer and in your presence and in your power, not in our own strength. So Lord, we repent and we chart a new course. Like Nehemiah, sure, he hit a lot of trials and headaches and barriers, but none of them stopped him. And we are determined that when we hit those bumps on the road, we are never going to stop. We are never going to stop because you have an amazing, perfect plan for our lives. And we want to walk in that plan. There's no better place to be but in that perfect plan. Forgive us, Lord, for doing our own thing. Forgive us, Lord, for trying it our own way. Your word is truth. And your word is the light and the lamp that we need. Forgive us, Lord, for depending on our own wisdom instead of following the wisdom in this book. So, Lord, seal this in our hearts. We go forward to fight the good fight in repentance and in your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap off.